Nezuma rolled over on his side, perched on the cliff overlooking the glen. The ghillie suit he wore enabled him to blend in perfectly with the surrounding forest. The night vision scope he had spent the previous hour looking through rested in his hand. Next to him, wearing another ghillie suit but squatting against the trunk of a tree and armed with a Heckler & Koch G36 assault rifle, sat Shuko. She held a parabolic microphone attached to a set of earplugs. When she saw Nezuma roll over and look at her, she took out the plugs.
That was interesting. What happened after the fog came in?
A lot of confusion. They had no idea what was going on. They seemed disoriented and completely unaware. You heard the howling, as did I, but just before the mist dissipated, I heard two sounds that could only have been people getting knocked out.
You're sure about that?
Absolutely.
Once the fog rolled in, I couldn't see anything. The way it came, though, seemed rather bizarre. I thought it was a natural occurrence, but now I'm not so sure.
You think they had a fog machine?
I don't know. What I do know is Kenichi and Creed are now missing from the glen where they were a few moments ago. Their gear is also missing. The whole thing seems strange to me.
Looks like a snatch job.
That is exactly what it looked like to me, too.
You think someone beat us to the punch?
Possibly, but I do not know who.
Your Yakuza friends.
They are not friends, Shuko, you know that. As far as I'm concerned, they're idiots. And they certainly don't have the ability to pull off something like this in such an isolated area. It would require far too much planning and technical skill to bring off successfully. Plus, they would need an intimate knowledge of this area.
They don't have that knowledge.
No, they don't.
Which leaves us with what? Two possibilities?
A party we might know about, or a party we have no idea about.
I doubt we'll figure it out here.
True. What did you hear before the mist came down?
The woman said something about a waterfall.
What did she say?
Something about it looking honeycombed. That she saw something while she was inside it.
Interesting.
Nezuma glanced at the waterfall. It fell from a soaring height, probably close to 200 feet. It was a pure wall of water falling over rocks that had probably been there for hundreds of thousands of years.
What are you thinking?
I am considering the possibility that Creed is actually a bit smarter than I recognized early on. That perhaps she did indeed see something when she was in the waterfall.
The entrance to the caves.
Very possibly. Let's get going.
They stuffed their ghillie suits and equipment into their bags and went down the cliff. They'd positioned themselves there earlier, after Nezuma had declared it one of the few areas from which they could comfortably observe the glen, without fear of someone coming up behind them. At the bottom, they paused, squatting by the trail leading up. Nezuma used hand signals to let Shuko know they should wait to see if anyone was around, and reacted to their walk down from the cliff. But after 10 minutes of nothing but natural noises, Nezuma signaled it was time to move. He drew out his own gun, a smaller Heckler & Koch UMP that he could fire comfortably with one hand. Shuko came behind him, cradling the heavier H&K. The bullets in her gun were much more powerful than Nezuma's. They moved to the glen. Nezuma approached first, with Shuko braced by a tall pine, scanning the area in case of an ambush. Nezuma knelt where the campfire had been only 40 minutes before. The ground was damp, and there remained only a patch of burned grass where there had been stones, logs, and char from the fire. He frowned. What could so utterly erase the presence of people in such a brief span of time? Even the pine needles that Kenichi and Creed had used to make themselves more comfortable had been scattered around. In fact, he realized, someone coming through this glen would be hard-pressed to prove that there had been anyone camping there recently. Nezuma shook his head. There was no way on earth this could have been carried out by anyone he knew of. He turned and waved Shuko in. It went against his better judgment to bring his cover fire in, but he wanted her to see what they were dealing with. Shuko knelt and brushed her hands along the ground. Nezuma knew she was looking for sign, tracks left by Kenichi and Creed, and possibly by whatever had grabbed them almost an hour before.
There's nothing here. We saw them clear as day, and we saw them vanish. But there's nothing here that would prove they even existed.
That's what he was afraid of. Let's get in there.
Shuko stood and they moved to the pond. But rather than strip down, Nezuma and Shuko split up and each took a side, scanning the entire area. Nezuma caught water spray in his face and he brushed it away, still alert for any possible indication that the mist, and what it contained, was coming back. He bent low and looked behind the waterfall as much as he could, but given its position, doing so was almost impossible. He saw Shuko coming back.
Any luck?
It's too difficult getting a glimpse at all. I think we need to actually get into the water.
I agree.
I'll get the dry bag.
Nezuma turned back to the waterfall. What was it about this that had produced such an odd occurrence? And if this really was the entrance to some sort of hidden monastery, then how did they access it? Shuko returned, and Nezuma slid his UMP into their dry bag. Shuko closed the zipper, and then secured the overlap that would protect the guns from exposure to water. Shuko's would fire anyway, even when submerged, but Nezuma wasn't sure about the performance of his UMP after being dunked. He didn't want to take any chances. Shuko strapped her pack on again and hefted the dry bag as well. From her belt, she drew out her knife and stepped into the water. Nezuma also strode into the water, vaguely aware of how cold it was. If Anya Creed could withstand the water, then he was going to as well. There would be no way he'd ever succumb to it when the American woman had already demonstrated her ability to withstand its temperatures.
Shall I take point?
Nezuma looked at her. She'd dropped saying master. It was another sign she was becoming complacent about their relationship.
No, I'll go up first.
He ducked under the falls and shuddered as the cold torrent hit him like a sack of bricks. The water came up to his thighs and he slogged through it, reaching the flat stone ledge where he'd seen Creed standing and doing some imitation of meditation. Nezuma stood on it and looked up into the raging water. It blinded him for a moment until he adjusted his head position so the water hit only parts of his head and face, leaving his eyes alone. About 100 feet above him, he could see the dark outline of something oval, and above that, more similar-shaped entrances. That must be it. He leaned out of the falls and saw Shuko.
It's here!
But how do we reach it?
I don't know!
Shuko moved toward the back of the waterfall and pressed her hands against the smooth slabs that ran from high overhead to the floor of the pond below. Nezuma watched her work with her eyes closed and smiled. She was truly a gifted woman and an apt pupil. It would be a shame to kill her.
Master!
Yes!
I think we can scale the wall!
Are you sure? We don't have the gear necessary for that!
We've got enough rope! I can try it first and secure anchor points. You can climb up next.
Nezuma looked up. It was a long way to go. Any misstep would cost them their lives. The thought of departing this plane of existence without having recovered the Dorje did not sit well with Nezuma.
I don't know!
It's the only way!
All right! But go slowly! I don't want anything to happen to you!
She smiled, looking like a beautiful mess as the water splashed down on her.
I'll be fine.
Nezuma tried to move out of her way. He'd still have to stay under the freezing water while she climbed so he could try to spot her in case something bad happened. He knew honestly, though, that if she fell, there'd be little chance of his catching her or otherwise saving her life. Shuko must have known that too, but the knowledge that she could die had never stopped her before, and Nezuma could see it wasn't about to give her pause now. She slid her pack off and rummaged through the top pocket, drawing out a length of twisted nylon and hemp rope, noted for its ability to withstand heavy weights and harsh conditions. Nezuma frowned. This certainly qualified as harsh. Shuko looped the rope around herself and then drew out a few anchors that she stowed on her belt. She looked at Nezuma.
I don't know if I'll find any place to put these. Hammering them in could potentially alert whoever might be there.
Understood. Just do the best you can to show me how to follow your lead.
Your life is in my hands.
Try not to let that power go to your head, Shuko.
Shuko gave him a quick peck on the lips and then felt her way to the back of the waterfall again. Nezuma watched as she found 2 footholds and then looked up, reaching for places to put her hands or fingers. Nezuma had seen her climb enough times to know that if anyone was capable of scaling the backside of a waterfall, it was Shuko. Her name meant claw, after all. And if the universe willed it, they'd soon be in those caves with the Dorje at long last in sight.